Hi everyone, welcome back to the third episode of the Golden State Hoteliers podcast. I'm here with Muhi today, who is one of the co-founders of the American Muslim Community Foundation, and I'm just going to be asking him some questions about his faith and his work. So just to start, can you describe the work that you do?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Nate, for having me on the podcast. It's a real pleasure to be here.
Of course.
The work that I do, simply put, is putting generosity into action. People want to support in many different ways, whether it's with their time, talent, and treasure, and I help people do that.
Cool. Why did you choose to study philanthropy in school?
Yeah, so it was an opportunity that fell into my lap. I was an undergrad at the University of Michigan, and I was at the Dearborn campus, and there was an internship available called the Development Summer Internship Program. And we got to work in an office setting 4 days a week. I was in the alumni relations office. I had a mentor who was the director there, and he mentioned that I should apply for the internship. And it was a paid opportunity. So I was like, obviously, we're going to do this. And it worked out. I stayed on for through the summer, a little bit into the fall after, and graduated. And really, the internship helped me see how the university in Ann Arbor fundraised for the entire university system from their medical school and research opportunities to the athletics department. They brought in donors to talk about why they support an alumni. So it was just really inspiring to see 500 people in a university office working to raise billions of dollars from everything from marketing to events to donor relationships and major gift officers. And I'd always been somebody who naturally was always organizing things. I was student body campus president. Before that, was also Amnesty International president and was always connecting people. I played rugby on campus, so I was always doing something social and out and about. So building relationships was something that was natural to me. And now to do that in my profession feels really good.
Awesome. Yeah, it makes sense. So, the American Muslim Community Foundation is an organization that grants money to nonprofit Muslim organizations. Is that correct?
So any organization.
Any
So
sort of,
although
okay, cool.
our families identify their faith as being Muslim and following Islam, that's the reason why they're giving together through American Muslim Community Foundation. But there's research out there from organizations like the Institute for Social Policy and Understanding, where I used to work as well, that indicate that Muslims are just as likely to give to faith-based causes than they are non-faith-based causes or other faith-based causes. One of the main reasons why I started AMCF was because I wanted to showcase the impact that Muslim philanthropy had in the United States. So since we've started, we've been able to give out more than $10 million. Our research and data is going to places like Giving USA, which last year in 2022 said that Americans gave $500 billion. It was like $499.33 billion, right? So that's a crazy amount of money annually that Americans are donating. And I want to know how much American Muslims are giving. We're about 1% of the total population. So are we holding our weight and giving 1% of that 500 billion? And I'd like to argue that through our faith guiding principles of sadaqah and zakat, which are encouraging charitable giving in Islam, that we are probably close to that number. Maybe not all the way up to 5 billion, but I think it's in the billions that American Muslims are contributing annually. And there's more research that is going into this from the Center on Muslim Philanthropy at Indiana University. We have other thought partners in this space. The main product that AMCF uses are what are called donor advised funds. And we submit our data to the Donor Advised Fund Research Collaborative because that and Giving USA have a section on faith and philanthropy. So we want our figures and data and story to be told there.
Okay, that's cool. What can you maybe talk a little bit about one like grant that you saw turn to something really fruitful, or like one organization that you're working with that you think is making a significant change in the community?
Yeah, so, you know, we work with over 175 families across the country. We started in the Bay Area. I was living in Fremont and then later San Francisco from 2013 to 2023, earlier this year. And, you know, many families in the Bay Area have been successful in the tech industry and having companies that are sold and startups that are bought. So there were a few families who wanted to set up a donor advised fund because it made sense for tax purposes. It made sense, it aligned with their philanthropic mindset and the goals that they wanted to achieve the rest of their life. So one of these families are interested in distributing funds to food banks and to education nonprofits. And we were able to put together a proposal for them and had nonprofit organizations apply so that they could learn about different opportunities. And then they ended up selecting three organizations that they ended up giving funds to. There's another example that I have where one family, their child was born with what's called clubfoot. So they were really interested in helping provide non-invasive surgery and what's called like an Iowa brace that children at birth will wear. And then over the course of a few years will correct how the posture of their foot is so that they can walk regularly. So in developing countries, this can become a big issue where they may be neglected, they may be left aside to fend for themselves as an orphan on the street. So the Iowa brace has made significant changes in the lives of people all around the world. And we were able to donate 3,000 Iowa braces to a rural hospital in Pakistan. Something that was really cool, has long-lasting impact. Just one more story as well. We operate what are called giving circles, where individuals will come together and give to a common cause, and they'll vote democratically on how they want to distribute the funds. So we've done several giving circles through the years. One that I'll mention here is specific to the Bay Area. And these families are giving of their zakat, again, which is a principle that Muslims follow, similar to tithing in Christianity, where people are expected to give of their wealth annually. And these families, there were about 20 participating, each give $5,000. So that immediately becomes $100,000 to distribute to a charity. And we did our research, we nominated organizations, they presented to the group. And after all of that, the families then decided to distribute $50K to one organization, $30K to a second organization, and $20K to a third organization, all in the Bay Area doing fantastic work. One was helping Stanford's Children's Hospital and Lucille Packard with surgeries and families who couldn't afford pay. Another program was providing food security and support services to people in Oakland. And a third organization was helping people who are actually imprisoned and wanting to learn more about Islam. So lots of different examples of giving circles and people utilizing donor advised funds and kind of implementing a grant system to be more strategic about their philanthropy and then being able to pick really great causes that are doing fantastic work.
I see. So you're working with family or groups that want to, you know, donate money to kind of advise them on where to put it out. But are you also like receiving donations and then distributing it yourself as well?
Yeah. So an example of that, I'm sure you heard of the wildfires that were in Maui in August.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we activated a crowdfunding campaign on a site called Launch Good. And we ran a campaign called Muslims for Maui, and we raised over $55,000. And now we're in the process 1 month later to distribute those funds to organizations in Maui, doing great work with long-term recovery efforts.
Awesome. Okay. That's really cool. I'm mom's from Hawaii. So yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm sure you guys were following that story closely then.
Yeah, yeah. So I read on like one of your Facebook excerpts that said, by presenting a professional garment and sharing our data for research on giving trends and partnering with philanthropic groups, we deepen the narrative of what it means to be an American Muslim. And so I just wanted to ask, like, what kind of changes or to the, you know, Muslim narrative are you trying to, you know, employ? And what are you trying to kind of deepen from that thing?
Yeah. So, you know, I was born in 1985. I was in high school during 9/11. There was a deep narrative created around who Muslims are at that time. A lot of Islamophobia, a lot of xenophobia, and a lot of work in the early 2000s and since has been on coalition building, interfaith work. The country was divided, right? And now, 22 years later, some things are better. There's definitely a lot of things that we still need to improve on. And I think one part of that is if you're not telling your own story, somebody else will. So my hope is that through the work that AMCF is doing, we can tell our story a little bit better. We can showcase the impact that we're having. We can highlight the work that's being done by fantastic nonprofit organizations. And part of that as well, we have a giving circle called Interfaith Giving Circle Confronting Hate to exactly be doing this type of work. And you know, it's similar across the board. Every faith group, every ethnicity, every race has these challenges to better inform people about who they are. You know, the last few years, there's been a lot on the social justice lens, Black Lives Matter, for stopping Asian hate, for all of these things coming to the surface. And it almost seems like every few years, there's just some other thing that we need to work against in our country. But on the bright side, there are so many passionate people, kind people that care. And it's just showcasing and highlighting that. Definitely think there are more good people than evil people. Maybe there's not enough people who are acting on it. And we need to beat that drum a little louder. And we need help to showcase efforts that are being done. So that's why I really appreciate this opportunity to be on this podcast, because whoever listens to this will hopefully have a more better and more informed opinion on Muslims, on the work that American Muslims are doing. And that's why that research through Institute for Social Policy and Understanding is so critical, because they actually have data to showcase who American Muslims are. Population, professions, impact, social demographics, and so much more to tell our story more effectively.
Right. Got it. Okay. And would you say that, first I just want to say, like, I think that's a really, really, hopeful way of putting like your work. And yeah, I'm hoping too that a lot of people can listen to this and kind of understand more. And just to kind of follow up, is there it's my understanding that you've been doing this for quite a bit now, and I want to ask like if there's maybe any moment or just kind of change that you've seen in how people are viewing American Muslims through your work. That
Yeah,
makes sense.
definitely. Through AMCF, we started in 2016. We became like more publicly facing in 2017. So I'd say about 6 years we've been doing this work now. And it's been challenging. Sometimes it feels like you're on an island all on your own, and other times it feels like, people know about the work and support it and are doing what they can. And we have this event coming up in November called the Muslim Philanthropy Awards. And it's a great opportunity for communities all across the country to highlight people in the Muslim community who are doing great work. So it's a celebration, it's a nomination. We get to learn about youth in philanthropy, ages 5 to 12, what they're doing in their communities. There's a lifetime achievement award. So you get to hear people who've been doing this for 20 plus years. There's everything in between, from volunteer fundraiser to staff member to board member to corporation to nonprofit. So it's just a way to highlight the good work in the community. I love seeing all the nominations come in and just be inspired by the great work that's being done. And I think at the same time, there needs to be more people in this field. And we're one of a few organizations that are in this space. There's an organization called the El Hibri Foundation, based out of Washington, D.C. There's another called Pillars Fund in Chicago, and they work nationally and support a lot of fantastic American-led nonprofit institutions that are run by Muslims or Muslim-focused, doing fantastic work. But I'd love to see 10 organizations out there, 20 organizations out there that are focused on professional development of Muslim nonprofit leaders, of helping institutions grow. So, I think that there's a lot of opportunity for collaboration, for building a niche, for continuing this work and supporting it. So I'm hopeful for kind of where things are going. Over the last 6 years, I've seen a lot of interest. I've seen a lot of people focusing more on Muslim philanthropy, a lot of mainstream philanthropic organizations opening up doors and connections to community foundations, like even Silicon Valley Community Foundation and California Community Foundation and Marin County Foundation and East Bay Community Foundation. All of these places, San Francisco Foundation, are supporting Muslim organizations, but maybe not to the tune of that 1%, right? If Muslims are 1% of the population, are Muslim-led organizations receiving 1% of general philanthropy? We're just not there yet. So there is room for improvement. And I'd love to see community foundations and family foundations across the country doing what they can to support these initiatives as well.
Okay. How close would you say you are to that 1%? And maybe like have you where was that in 2016? Just so people can kind of get a sense of like kind of the change you're making.
Yeah, so I have some data here from the Giving
Cool.
USA
Awesome.
report. And in 2022, out of that $499.33 billion that was given in charity, it looks like $50 billion was given to grant-making foundations. Now, I don't have the figures on how much was given by foundations. It looks like about $105 billion. So almost 20% of charitable giving came from foundations, right? So from foundations to nonprofit organizations. Surprisingly, about 73% comes from individuals like you and I, our parents, our families. That makes up 73% of charitable giving. So you're looking at almost $365 billion that individuals give annually. And then corporations give about $30 billion. So foundations are giving $105 billion. I don't think $1 billion is coming to Muslim-led institutions.
Right.
And so Muslims being 1% of the population, arguably, I think that there needs to be more done from foundations across the country to be learning about Muslim-led institutions. And there is a concerted effort to do that. And we are part of that and just building more connections, because it's about educating program officers at foundations. It's about connecting with the leadership at foundations. And it's going to take some time, but this is one of the main objectives that we're trying to accomplish as well.
Awesome. Well, can you talk about a bit how your religious beliefs and your faith intersect with your work? And is, I think you kind of touched upon this earlier, but like, is there an aspect of your work that is fulfilling in like a, you know, spiritual sense, just, you know, in a sense that, you know, that aligns with, you know, your beliefs, as a Muslim?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of times in the Quran that giving charity is mentioned. Terms I use, sadaqah, zakat. And there's also a lot of narrations in the life of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, called the Sunnah and Hadith. There are examples of giving charity. So it is highly encouraged in the faith. And I had mentioned ISPU as collecting data, and they've actually done an American Muslim philanthropic study to kind of get a sense of the landscape of why Muslims are giving. And the biggest reason why Muslims give is because they feel that those with more should help those with less. So the sense of altruism and helping. Then the second most, which lines very well with the faith, is that it's a religious duty and obligation, because God commands us and the example of the Prophet shows us and do that. And the third largest is because giving makes people feel good. You can imagine if you see you're helping somebody, you have that intrinsic value, your satisfaction and happiness increase because of it as well. And there's a lot of other reasons why Muslims give. This is also in line with the general public of why Americans are supporting and what motivates donors, right? It's alignment to a mission. It's the desire to make a difference, personal satisfaction. It's family and upbringing, personal stories. So these are a lot of the reasons. Like, people maybe think, oh, it's because they're going to get a tax write-off. That's maybe one part of it, but there's so much more dynamic to giving, is about inspiration and impact and making a difference. So all of that is revolved around my faith, my identity, because there's such a large emphasis on that in the faith. So I like to think that I am living out what my faith calls me to do in my everyday work, because I'm helping families distribute their wealth. And some families have a few hundred bucks and a few thousand dollars to give, and other families are blessed with more. And they're giving tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of dollars through American Muslim Community Foundation. So we work with everybody on wherever they are. And we don't have any minimums or thresholds that we have to open an account with or anything, much like a Fidelity or Schwab or Vanguard may have. Really trying to democratize philanthropy and the impact that it can make. by making it accessible and these best practices and tools available to the general public. So we see a big value of ours being, take what is available through tax law and make it available to the general public for families to take advantage of so that they can be more strategic around their charitable giving.
Right. Yeah. And I think even for me, like when I think about donations and charitable giving, it's often can just be about numbers moving around. I think hearing you talk about how your religion plays a role in it, it changes the whole perspective. It's really cool. I guess moving on, there's kind of this trend, especially in the Bay Area, where in this kind of world of postmodern thinking, where people are questioning all these institutions and organized religion, especially in the younger generations. And it's really amplified here in where I live in Silicon Valley. So do you think this kind of trend will have an effect on your organization? And do you feel do you ever feel it's kind of hard to kind of stay with your faith in this world where it seems more and more people are losing faith in certain areas of the country, especially?
Yeah, this is a great question. I was born into a Muslim family, raised as a Muslim. My parents were founders of their mosque in their community in Michigan. Wow. And well-respected in the community. So growing up, high school, was involved in the youth group, was a president of the youth group. Each of my siblings were actively involved. My dad, he's at the mosque 5 times a day for each prayer. It's super impressive to see how devout he is and how his faith guides him. And everybody has their own spiritual journey. I certainly have had mine. The faith asks us to fast in Ramadan, asks us to pray 5 times a day. It asks us to believe in God and the messengers, been mentioned in the Quran, which there are 25 of. Jesus is one of them. Peace and blessings upon him. And my faith has always been a big part of my identity. And in the last several months, I have become more spiritual, more religious, more trying to be adamant about not missing my prayers. As growing up my entire life, it was I'll do them later, or I'll skip them, or I was too busy. I didn't prioritize it. So I've always had this journey with my faith, but I've always been somebody who has held God close in my heart, always on my mind. And a big part of that is because of my family upbringing. I often think, if I wasn't born into this family, and say I was still born in the United States, would I find Islam later in my life? I don't know. I'm truly blessed to have been born in the United States, born into this family, born into this religion. And I have researched other faiths, and I have understanding of spiritualism, definitely. But I'm very confident in my faith, and I'm trying to actively be stronger in my faith on a day-to-day basis as well. And I feel like it guides my actions. I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life, and for personal reasons or for other, trying to be more grounded in having my faith instruct my future decisions. That's more of a personal choice and a spiritual choice that I'm trying to make, and just being a better person overall. I have a lot of friends who are atheists, who are of other faiths, and morally, they're great people, right? They derive their sense of morals and actions and doing what's right based on they are as individuals and not necessarily by their faith. And that's fantastic. I would have a lot of conversations with my friends around, like, you know, you shouldn't do something just because your faith tells you to. You should do things because it's the right thing to do. And I applaud that opinion and I back that opinion. And there's a lot more to be said there. I think that, you know, to get to a destination, there are multiple paths, multiple routes. And if we're all getting to the same place, as long as we're great people, nice people, kind people, hopefully we'll all end up there as well.
I have to say, like, it must, yeah, like, Muslims in America have, it's, you know, I guess I can kind of assume that, like, you know, for you, it's kind of felt like, you know, you've always been kind of, since 9/11, like, part of, like, you know, the minority in terms of kind of, like, you know, the hate that, you know, Muslims have received over the years, unfortunately. And I guess I want to ask, like, do you feel like that, like, even now, like, you know, it's, you know, the numbers and, you know, really good, organized religion, you know, dropping, like, do you still feel like, I mean, like, obviously it's been a while since 9/11, but do you feel like, you know, there's been kind of, positive, you know, change in that, years?
Oh, this is kind of a mixed bag, and I'm going to go at it from the angle of, like, government surveillance, right? So, like,
yeah,
ever since the civil rights movement, even prior to that, there's been ways in which the FBI, CIA, government overall has infiltrated communities, and, you know, whether it is conspiracy or fact is up to everybody to decide for themselves. But, like, you know, assassinations of Black leaders through the civil rights movement forward, people who were dynamic in the ability to change communities around them, Black Panther movement to the civil rights movement, and in the Muslim community, just infiltration of FBI informants into Muslim communities, so on and so forth. So I think there's a lot that needs to be done and recognized. Like, even the federal government was giving out grants in the skies of, like, surveillance. This was big after 9/11, where, you know, they were giving support to mosques and Muslim-led organizations, but it was like, we're doing this to counter terrorism. And that was very off-putting to a lot of people. And there were a lot of Muslim organizations that accepted the money. And they were like, well, we could use the funds. Kind of is interesting because it goes against this narrative of compliance. Like, you know, we don't need to surveil our own people, not the issue. And it's part of that narrative building as well. So I think there's a lot that can be done in terms of your point around faith in the country, faith in the community. People can focus more on that. And in this conversation around agnosticism, atheism, what can be done in circles of interfaith to include those voices? Because you could also argue that agnosticism or atheism is a faith in and of itself, even though they're not believing in a God. In atheism, what are they believing in? And that belief system could be identified as their faith, right? In the interfaith world, we like to say our friends of faith or of other beliefs, right? I would be open to including those voices, conversation on what we can do. But rather than building walls, we need to be building longer tables. We need to be inviting more people to the conversation. I think that's a big part of it is being bred with others and just having conversations around learning who they are, what they believe, why they do what they do, to promote understanding.
Cool. And that's kind of what, you know, this is all about as well, this podcast. So yeah, totally agree. Panel two questions. What would you say is like your, this is kind of a broad question, but like, what is your dream for like Muslims in America? And what are you kind of, I guess, what are you hoping to see your work, you know, go towards, you know, in the end?
This is a great question. I think it's definitely been inroads made. So now, like, I'll go back to the federal government. Like, there's definitely more Muslims being appointed into the White House, into opportunities. And of course, that is cyclical with who is in power in Congress, in the White House. Definitely some period where we can take two steps forward, and then there are other periods where we're taking steps backwards, right? And I think that my dream for Muslims in America is to be in a country that provides the resources for all Americans, right? So this is like my dream beyond Muslims in the US. Like, I want to be in a country that spends more resources on its own people than it gives in tax dollars in foreign countries. I want to be in a country where the education, the healthcare, the social services and needs and basic needs of all are being met. I have so many families and individuals that are in debt because of education, because of healthcare. There's so many systems that are broken in the United States. And we're a first world country where we are struggling in education. We are struggling in providing nutritional value meals to children across this country. And when I think of that, the future, I want it to be better. But I've also seen the challenges over the last 30 years of living here. And I don't know. I think the country needs a wake-up call. I think there needs to be a lot to be done to shake up and provide more resources to families in need. And there is a huge wealth gap in this country. And my hope and dream is that some of that gets better very soon for people, because we could be a lot better in a lot of different ways. I think that there's a big opportunity there, but something needs to happen. I don't know what the solution is, but I'd love to be part of that conversation. And that's why, you know, I think philanthropy calls to me so much, because the government only does so much, and the government can do more in terms of its resources. Since it doesn't, philanthropy is where it fills the gap. People decide they want to be giving to social services, to education, to other institutions, to make it a better experience and future for people. That's why I believe in philanthropy and the potential that it has. And we can't wait for the government to build better policies and build infrastructure to get support to those who need it. And that's why the nonprofit sector is so critical. There are a lot of and that's needed. I think that by supporting nonprofits, we can get to that ideal future a lot faster.
Taking action is so important now. And just for people watching in, just kind of as a final question, what can like non-Muslims do to support Muslim organizations and kind of better, you know, push this dream and like hope for the future that you have?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, learn about Muslims, learn about American Muslims, follow American Muslim Community Foundation on socials, see what we're up to, have the capacity, become a donor to support our work, volunteer with us. There's so many great organizations that you can learn about through our network as well. We're always highlighting different nonprofits in the community on our social media, and we would love to have your support. If it's just signing up in our email list, those things go a long way. And try to meet a Muslim in your local neighborhood, in your community, and get to know them. All things that of other faith or no faith and beliefs can do to support their fellow Muslims.
That's it for the interview. I just wanted to say thanks again for taking an hour out of your day to do this. We really appreciate it. Well, I think that'll kind of be at the end of the podcast.